Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, broadcasting this week from the headline department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yes, and these headlines came to us from Jessica Komaski, and they are actual headlines from real newspapers collected over the years by journalists.
And you'll see why they collected them in a minute. I would describe these as headlines with unintentional meanings.
Yeah, exactly what they are.
Go ahead.
Here's one. Prostitutes appeal to Pope.
Really?
I didn't know that. Drunk gets 9 months in violin case.
Well, that'll show him. he'll be drinking in public anymore.
Panda mating fails. Veterinarian takes over.
Oh, I must have been well-versed in animal husbandry.
Two sisters reunited after 18 years in checkout counter. Oh,
they must have been at the registry of motor vehicles.
Red tape holds up new bridge.
Wow.
Oh, you didn't know you could do that.
Must be that gorilla tape.
Astronaut takes blame for gas in spacecraft.
Yeah, that's why they sequestered those guys. They don't want them having any bean burritos the night before takeoff.
And last but not least, Iraqi head seeks arms.
Well, look, if you want to give us your car's latest headline, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, I'm Jim Goggin from Williamsburg, Virginia.
Hey,
originally
Jim.
From Norwood, Mass.
Norwood?
Norwood, yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So what are you doing in Virginia?
I teach PE to elementary school kids.
What, they didn't have any openings in Norwood?
Actually, I had to get away from my mother and the girlfriend. That's why.
Oh, boy. Well, we won't divulge your last name. Oh, wait, you already did.
Too late.
Anyway, what's up, Jim?
Well, I have a 1993 Mercury Topaz, and when it gets up to about 25 miles an hour, the RPMs go to like 4,400, and the car sounds like a jet engine taking off. It goes, and all of a sudden, it kicks into gear like a hammer hits it. and the car shakes a little bit. It does the same thing around 45, 50.
And the car speeds up, of course.
Oh, yeah, and it drives fine, but it's kind of loud. I drive it about 2,000 miles a year. My mother-in-law had it, and it's got about 122,000 miles on it. But I'm just wondering, does this mean my transmission, the fluid in there is fine? Does this mean my transmission's going or going to be gone?
Wait a minute. So you got a mother-in-law, so you found a new girlfriend?
Yes. Oh, yeah, I've been happily married 31 years.
Oh, the plot thickens. Wait a minute. Was the girlfriend concurrent with the wife?
No. Back in 1975.
Oh, all right, so you had a girlfriend in Norwood, and you had a job in Norwood, both of which you left behind to go to Virginia, and you didn't have the wife at the time.
No.
At least that's the story you want us to believe.
Well, but that's a long time ago, and he's...
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Well, the statute of limitations is long out, as far as we're concerned. So you now have...
Did you have a car problem? If so, what was it?
So you have a mother-in-law and a wife, and you drive 2,000 miles a year?
Yeah, because my job is like 1.7 miles away.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's good for you because I don't see many more thousands of miles in the future of this transmission.
Right. That's what it is, the transmission.
Yeah. You know, it's probably planetary gears that are making all that noise, and that's why when it shifts, you get a harsh shift and you get the noise until it shifts to the next gear, and then it starts making the noise again once the RPMs get up there.
So, I mean, how much longer is it worth it to put $400 or $500 in a year to get it fixed?
Well, if you were to be lucky enough to put $400 or $500 in a year, that would be okay. But I think immediately you're looking at a couple of thousand.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And you said the fluid was full and clean.
Yes.
Well, that's too bad. Yeah, if the fluid were dirty and low, we'd say there's hope for you.
Right.
But I don't think there's any hope.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, there's hope for you, but there's not hope for the Topaz. So it's... Yeah, I mean...
Like I said, I only drive it, you know, right nowadays around town.
Yeah, look, so, Jim, you're a phys ed teacher.
Yes.
You're setting a terrible example. You should put on your jogging suit every morning.
Yeah, you should be running to
school. You should be running to work, exactly. No matter what the weather, snow, sleet, rain, dogs nipping at your butt cheeks, everything. You should be out there setting an example for these kids and running to school.
Well, you know, funny you say that. I ran track at Boston College, and I run every day here in Williamsburg. I have a running club at my school, too. So funny you say that.
Yeah, so I think
but
you should abandon
drive to school.
Yeah, I think you should abandon the car completely. And on those few days that you need a ride, I'm sure your mother-in-law would be happy to take you back and forth.
Oh, yes, definitely.
You lucky guy.
Be careful.
All right.
But I wouldn't spend another. In fact, I'd be reluctant to even fill the gas tank next time. I'd say goodbye to this car. It's time.
All right. Well, I appreciate it.
Good luck, Jim.
Good luck, Jim.
All right. Thank you.
Take care.
Yep.
Bye-bye. Bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Julia from Durham, North Carolina.
Hi, Julia. What's going on?
Well, we have a 2001 Passat wagon. And we've had it for a couple of years, but in the past year, we've had a problem with pooling water in the car, various parts of the car.
Oh.
At first, it was on the passenger side front seat floor. When we would get a heavy rain, we'd get a good inch or two of standing water on the floor of the passenger seat.
And you couldn't tell where that was coming from?
Not exactly, no. We couldn't really tell. I mean, it would have rained the night before. We'd go out in the morning, and there it would be.
So now you wear flip-flops all the time when you drive, right?
Right, and carry lots of spare towels. So then the second part of this that happened is I started hearing water sort of in front of my knees, like behind dash, but low down.
Oh, that shoots.
I would hear kind of a sound when I would make a hard turn to the left, and it would come trickling out onto the passenger seat floor from the door, but down low.
Well, I was all set to tell you, Julia, that you had a leaky sunroof, and I was fully prepared to have you say that you don't have a sunroof.
Oh, I do have a sunroof, but I'm sure it's not coming
from
there.
But it's not coming from above.
Right. So we thought we had solved this problem with the by just putting a tarp. Anytime there's rain in the forecast, we just put a tarp on the car, and it was fine. It stopped happening.
Ah. So when you cover the car,
yeah,
you have no problem with it.
Right.
Okay. So I think what's happening is...
So it is coming from above.
It is very good.
Well,
that's where rain usually comes from
usually
above.
Usually comes from above.
All right. So I'm going to change direction here completely. Originally, I thought it was your air conditioner because water was getting trapped in the evaporator, and that would account for hearing those sloshing sound and whatever when you turn corners. But now I'm convinced that water is getting trapped because it's going into the cowl. You know that area where the windshield wiper blades are?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's where air comes in when you drive the car, you know, for your ventilation system. But as you might expect, water gets in there, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what's happening is there are probably a bunch of twigs, pine needles, and other debris in there. Maybe a few wristwatches. Who knows what's in there? But there are enough things in there that are blocking that drain, because that has to drain out, too. And the drain is very big, but if it doesn't drain out, if it does get blocked by something, then that water could stay in there, and it could slosh around when you make turns, and it can spill over and actually come into the passenger compartment.
Okay, and there's also a new development.
Ah.
I had a feeling she wasn't going to be easy. We're not getting rid of her that easily.
No.
What else?
Okay, so this weekend we had a really big storm, and the tarp blew off in the night.
Uh-huh.
And in the morning, my husband went to change the headlight. I happened to have a headlight out, and he lifted up the hood. And in the engine compartment, in the area surrounding the battery, it was full of water, like a good 6 inches of standing water, almost completely submerged the battery.
Oh,
and the battery is up by the windshield on this car. Is
correct,
it?
Yeah.
So it stands to reason that that's what's going on. So here's the remedy.
Okay.
You have to tip the car over on its roof.
Yeah.
And all that water and all that debris and all that stuff will come out. And if you got a bunch of friends, you can probably do it in one shot. Tip it over. Uh-huh. Everything will spill out. No, you need to take it to the shop, and they will disassemble the cowl thing, you know, the little grate that's there.
And they'll get all the junk out.
And they'll get all the junk out, and all the water will flow out. And they'll know they fixed it when they pour water in the top, and it comes out the bottom.
Is that easy to do? Is it going to be costly?
Well, if your husband is well-versed in changing batteries
uh-huh.
and headlights and whatnot, then he might be able to tackle this. Tell him to not be afraid to take stuff apart.
Okay.
But by the way, once you get this water to stop coming in, you have to address the issue of the water that's still in the car, because what's going to happen is that water that has along with it a lot of organic matter is going to be a perfect breeding ground for mold. And one day you'll get into the car and you'll think that something had died in there. and it'll be the smell of all those mold spores. But before that happens, clean it up, absorb all the water as best you can, and maybe squirt it with alcohol.
With alcohol?
Yeah, or some kind of biocide that's made for mold.
Okay.
Yeah, mold's bad for you, I think.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Anyway, good luck, Julia.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, bye. Bye-bye. I'm exhausted. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Ari from St. Paul, Minnesota.
What's happening, man?
I have a 98 Corolla, and it has a leaky power steering hose. And I know that, and I went into the shop, and they said it would be $200 to fix, and I can just pour power steering fluid in every so often. The problem is that it will spray onto the engine manifold, which if it's hot in the firewall, it'll smoke billow up from under my hood.
Uh-huh.
I'm wondering if smoke might be a precursor to fire or something that could do some...
No, it's the other way around.
No, where there's smoke, there's fire usually. I don't know. So who knows? But yeah, this stuff can catch fire.
Okay.
It can catch fire. And so it must be spraying. I'm trying to remember, 98 Corolla, the power steering pump is closest to the glove box.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep.
And it's spraying on the manifold, which is there.
Yeah.
The exhaust pipe, and the exhaust pipe eventually winds up there. And you're concerned that it could...
burst into flames.
Well, that's right, because there's sometimes a lot of smoke comes out.
Well, I would make sure that you always wear sneakers. So you can run like hell. But you could perhaps wrap something around this so that it wasn't allowed to spray. What's happening is the hose is actually two pieces, and mm-hmm. there's a swaged fitting where the rubber joins the metal part of the hose, and that's in fact where it's leaking, and it's spraying out of there. And the new hose, which you probably found you can only get from Toyota. For an arm and a leg. What'd you say, $200?
They said $200, yeah.
Is that the installed price?
That's the installed price. I mean, I don't know if it's something I could do myself. I've never really done anything. But...
You can do it yourself.
Oh, I could.
Oh, yeah.
You could.
Oh, that'd be fun.
And the beauty about
and
a
they
car...
they still charge you $200.
Right.
The beauty of a car this age is this is a no-lose proposition. I mean, what's the worst-case scenario? You destroy the car, you junk it, and you get another car. So this must have a million miles on it. You probably have 198,000 miles on it.
135.
It's practically brand new.
Brand new. Okay. Well, don't screw it up then.
Okay.
It's a simple matter of perhaps buying yourself a wrench.
I think I even have a wrench.
Well, there's a special wrench.
You might not have the wrench.
Right. It's called a flare nut wrench.
A flare nut wrench?
Yeah. And what it looks like is your open-end wrench has just bearing surface on two sides. In other words, it's grabbing just two of the parallel sides of that nut on that fitting. Okay.
Yep.
You want one that grabs four sides of it.
Four sides. Okay.
Yeah. So you can go up and buy yourself. You can find out what size it is. It might be 14 millimeter or 17. You can go to Sears and buy a flare nut wrench that's that size, and you'll be in business. Then you just unbolt the thing, put the new one on, and fill it up with fluid.
Great. And this isn't something that could or should be solved like with duct tape or anything.
Well, I did have a duct tape answer.
I did.
I thought if you wrapped the offending area with duct tape and then wired it over with with the chicken wire, then you mm-hmm. could. Then,
whoa! What a bogus.
No. And maybe even throw in some gauze.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
It's almost like dressing a wound.
Yeah.
You know. So then the spray couldn't shoot at anything hot. It would rather have to just be absorbed by the gauze and would drip off as you drove along.
Yeah.
But then I'm sort of. That's more. It's going to go out down into the water, and if it's smoke, it goes up in the air, and
oh, that's much better.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, what's the rate at which this stuff is leaking?
It totally depends on how much I drive sort of in the city. If it's all on the highway, it's, once a month I have to put any fluid in.
Oh.
But if I'm taking a lot of corners and parallel parking, it's a lot more.
How much is a lot more? A pint, how often?
I probably go through a pint every couple weeks if I'm driving a lot.
Well, it's not a lot, but it's certainly making a mess of everyone's streets and driveways, and I'm sure no one wants you to park in front of his house.
Yeah, and then if it's not $200, because I did the calculation of how long it would take me to go through that much power steering fluid, it was like 200,000 miles. But
right, exactly.
So, pay labor, it's not as much, like 60 60,000.
Exactly. So in 60,000 miles, and plus the fact that you'll be overjoyed at the contribution you're making to cleaning up the planet.
And I'll learn to do something new.
This might be the equivalent of taking a coal-fired electricity plant offline.
Perhaps, maybe two of them.
Maybe two of them. Good luck. Get on it, Ari. If nothing else, buy yourself the hose before they stop making it.
Yeah.
And the sooner you do it, the more you'll enjoy the car.
And the sooner I do it, the less my hands will freeze.
Yeah, good luck, man.
It's pretty easy. It's a lot easier than you think. So one end connects to the pump, and the other end connects to the rack and pinion. And as long as you've got the right size wrench, it comes right off, and you'll put the other one right on.
All right.
Call us next month when you still can't get it apart.
I will do, guys.
See you later,
Good
Ari.
Luck.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, look, before we answer last week's puzzler, we need to take a short break. And since I'm pretty confident that you don't remember the puzzler.
Your confidence is well placed, my son.
I will tell you that it was about an old geezer and his collection of heaps.
Hey, who gave you the rights to my memoirs?
You can't even memoir last week's puzzler. No, this was about a different geezer and his dying wishes for his car collection.
You want to know my dying wish for my car collection?
Oh, I think I know it. I hope this one doesn't die today.
That's it.
Well, look, we'll be back with the whole puzzler and the answer in just a minute.
And we'll take more of your calls, too, so please stay tuned.
I am a cowboy and I drive a pickup truck. This Silverado's gonna find a girl for me. I'm sitting pretty, but I haven't had much luck. I hope the Chevy's gonna get it for me free. Power windows down, I holler, though I haven't got a dollar. Anyway, I'm promising the moon. Come on, honey, climb aboard. At least it's not a Ford. Can you afford the time to take a ride with me? Let's drive away, don't have to stop, we'll take it easy. Pull up your top and I'll engage the cruise control. Accelerate the curves, I've got the nerve to see how fast you'll go. I just await your word, my hummingbird. No one needs to know, let's drive away.
And even though King Tut says, would it be too much trouble to entomb me again whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if your cable box broke and you can't watch anything other than C-SPAN.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And here it is. This old geezer passes away and leaves his entire estate to his three ne'er-do-well nephews, Chip, Skip, and Nunzio. Now, he'd spent most of his money on women and wine and squandered the rest, so the only thing he had left was 17 cars. So the sleazeball lawyer and the three deadbeat nephews, Chip, Skip, and Nunzio, show up at the carriage house to look over the cars. And the lawyer says, let's see here. Your uncle left a third of the cars to Chip, half of the cars to Skip, and 1/9 of the cars to Nunzio. They look at him and say, what do we do now? There are 17 cars. How are we supposed to divide them up? They're just about to get out the Sawzall when who should waltz in but our old retainer, Krusty.
Yeah.
Krusty overhears their conversation and proposes a solution. The lawyer and the three inheritors say, this is genius!
Never mind.
The question is, what did Krusty propose, and more importantly, why did it work?
Wait a minute now. What was it? 1/3?
A third, a half, and a ninth.
And a ninth, which is... Oh, this is less than one.
There you go.
Because it's 4/9 plus a half.
Yeah.
You take 4.5/9.
So the first guy who inherited half the cars, Chip, is supposed to get 8.5 cars.
Yeah.
Right? The second guy is going to get 5 2/3 cars. And Nunzio is going to get stuck with a car and 8/9.
I've owned that one.
So yeah. Krusty comes along, and he says, look it, guys, I'll lend you my 52 Studebaker.
And they said, what do we need that for?
Well, now they have 18 cars. So Chip says, oh, I'll take half of those. That's 9 cars.
He takes 9.
Skip says, I'll take 1/3 of those. That's 6 cars.
Six.
And Nunzio says, I'll take 1/9. That's 2, which conveniently adds up to 17 cars. Krusty gets his 52 Studebaker back.
And everything's done.
And everyone's happy. And the question is, huh,
Wow.
Well, the reason it works is that if you are astute like my brother, you'll notice that half plus a third plus a ninth do not add up to one.
Yeah.
Well, he originally had 18 cars, is the truth.
And one of them... Rusty stole it. It was a 52 Studebaker.
But because they don't add up to one, in fact, when each gets his nine or six or two cars, it's actually more than the old man wanted to give each in his will.
Yeah, but it does work out proportionately.
So to speak. And they didn't have to get the saws all out. Pretty good. So who's our winner?
Our winner this week is Christopher Crow from Westfield, Massachusetts. And for having his answer selected from the dumpster full of correct answers that we got, Chris is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which he can get a copy of our new music CD, Stairway to Heepdom.
Now, this is a collection of some of our favorite disrespectful car songs,
including the one called Beep, 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 which is about people honking at a guy who stopped at a red light to the tune of Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata.
Ah, beep, 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 beep. I've never heard road rage sound so genteel.
Well, Christopher, a copy of Stairway to Heepdom can be yours for being this week's Puzzler winner.
And look, and if you didn't win, don't go away in a huff, or two and a huff, because we'll have a new Puzzler coming up later in the show. In the meantime, we'll take your calls at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Tony.
Tony.
Yep, from Louisville, Kentucky.
Hey, Tony.
Louisville.
What's going on?
Not much, man. I've got a 2001 Honda CRV, and when I turn to the left, like real hard to make a U-turn, it goes,
until you straighten it out again.
Till I start to straighten it out again.
Really?
Yep.
I'm surprised it doesn't do it when you turn to the right as well. Can you tell where the noise is coming from?
Sounds like it's coming from the rear right.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's probably coming from the rear middle.
Okay. Well, the CRV is kind of a box, so it's kind of hard to really tell
where it's
coming from back there.
And when you're sitting in the driver's seat, the middle is still to the right of you.
Correct.
So what usually happens with these things is the what's called the pump fluid, the fluid that goes into the differential in the back.
Yes.
Breaks down and needs to be changed. And this is, I would consider this kind of a flaw in these vehicles, because I'm pretty sure if you look into your owner's manual, it'll suggest that you change this differential fluid at 60,000 miles. And we've seen a lot of these at 20 or 30,000 miles that are doing exactly this. In fact, some of them will even chatter when you're going around, because included in that rear differential housing is something called the viscous coupling, which allows the front and rear wheels, because it's an all-wheel drive vehicle, to turn at different speeds. So you can negotiate tight turns. And that viscous coupling is grabbing when it should be slipping.
Well, that sounds like something I can take to my mechanic, or do I have to take it back to Honda?
You can take
to your mechanic.
All right.
You know, you can take it. How many miles are on this thing?
170.
170?
And how long have you had it?
2 weeks.
I've had it since 2004.
Okay.
And you never had this problem before?
No, but I always take it in whenever the little red dot
comes up. Oh, so it's possible that if you've been taking it to the dealer especially, that they've been changing this fluid for you.
Yes.
Yeah, so
but
now...
you stopped going there, didn't you?
No, I go there for...
for the free coffee.
It needs to be done by the dealer. Even if it seems like it's going to be complex, I take it to them.
Right, so when you go to Frank down the street...
Yes.
He'll know how to do it, too, because he's probably seen a few of these. But there's a special oil you have to use, and to the best of my knowledge, you can only get it from Honda.
Okay. So well, that's fine.
Bring the oil with you. Bring 4 quarts.
4 quarts of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Say it, Tony. It's probably
Thank
something
you
else. You'll have, if it's something else, you'll have those 4 quarts on the shelf in the garage for 5 years. See ya. Good luck, man.
Thank you, buddy.
Take care.
Hey, do you know what time it is?
A time to put snow tires on Corey Flintoff's skateboard?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we dig up a caller from a previous show to see if they took our car advice.
Yes, and if they did, How they're getting back and forth to work these days. So who are we talking to?
It's Libby from Seattle. You remember Libby?
No, it doesn't ring a bell.
That's because Libby called us almost 3 years ago.
3 years? I mean, doesn't she know our warranty is 30-30? 30 minutes after the show? Or 30 feet of driving? Whichever comes first.
Don't worry. It wasn't a mechanical question. Libby was looking for a new car and a new life.
Oh.
I've been a single mom. My daughter's in college. It's 26 years later after being in Seattle, and I want to sell everything and run away.
I love it.
So I want to get on the road for at least 2 or 3 months. I have a little Ford Escort, which is not going to make the journey. But I'm a very small person, just 5 feet tall, about 100 pounds. I have about $10,000, and I don't want a big SUV or an RV.
No.
I want a car that I could actually sleep in sometimes. And I know you guys could come up with something that would work.
Well, first of all, where are you planning to go?
I'm planning to leave Seattle and drive a southern route through Arizona and Texas. I want to see the Gulf Coast.
Yeah.
I want to get down to Key West.
Oh, boy.
I have family in the east, so I'll probably head there at some point.
You realize you're never coming back.
Don't tell anybody.
Who would we tell?
I know. Libby, your secret was safe with us. So what did we tell her?
Oh, we said go for it, of course. I think you tried to convince her to get a little pickup truck with a cap on it.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
So she could have a living area and a driving area.
Exactly. It sounded reasonable at the time and still does.
Yeah, if you want to get 12 miles a gallon and never see out your rearview mirror.
Well, now I'm dying to find out what actually happened. Libby, are you there?
I am here. Hi, guys.
Hi. Listen, before you fill us in, we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk, have we?
No, we have not.
And the answer you're about to give has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or by that Hitchhiker's Guide to U.S. Interstates that we sent you.
That's correct.
So what happened? Did you look at pickup trucks?
You know, I started to, and then I couldn't do it, partly because of the cab, and I didn't like not having access to the back, also because right about then,
yes,
you may or may not remember that gas started to climb, and by the time I
left Seattle.
Well, yeah, in a way, I shouldn't have, but just as I left, gas went over $3 a gallon for the first time.
Uh-huh.
So I bought a Ford Focus station wagon.
Not bad.
Uh-huh.
Not bad. You could probably you said you were diminutive, so you could probably sleep in the thing.
I could, and I napped in it. I never actually stayed overnight in it because I ended up having too much stuff with me.
And do you still have it?
I do still have it. That year, I put 18,000 miles on the car, and I never had a problem. I could stop at Ford dealerships and know that, you know, I could find one pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That was good thinking.
But I got to all the places I wanted to.
How close to Boston did you get, our fish?
I actually was in Boston at one point.
And you didn't come to see us?
Well, I didn't know how I could do that. I should have figured out a way. But, that trip in particular, I remember, because just after the Tappan Zee Bridge, because I was coming up from New Jersey.
Yeah. That used to be called the Tappan Brothers Bridge, but they changed it.
Yeah. I witnessed a bear run across the interstate.
Oh,
was he really? Was he really hairy? Could have been Tommy.
Well, there's always that possibility.
Oh boy!
But the other part of what you predicted is that I would never come back to Seattle.
And you did.
And I did.
You did.
I was. Yep. The end of. Yeah.
Well, you know, there are some people to whom you give advice, and they do well not to take it.
Yeah.
Well, we were wrong about everything with you.
Yep.
Oh, well.
Was it an adventure of a lifetime?
It was a total adventure.
Is it completely out of your system? You're ready to stay put in Seattle now?
I am. I'm back in Seattle. I fell in love with a man I'd known for 15 years.
Back in Seattle again. Oh, that's the wrong song. I'm sorry.
I discovered that who I spend my life with was more important than where, and that I had too many long-term great connections here.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Wow. What an adventure. So I think you had to go away to realize that you had to come back.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, despite the fact that we're wrong about everything, we want to thank you for playing Stump the Chumps.
Oh, you're welcome.
And
thank
you had
you
the time of your life. That was great. The only way it could have been better is if you'd had a pickup truck.
Well, I want to thank you guys because after that call, I felt compelled. Now that I talked to you guys, now I had to do it, and I'm really glad I did.
Oh, great. See you, Libby.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
If you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
Or call and stump us right now. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, hello. This is Blaine from Oregon. Well, originally, I'm actually in Steamboat Springs right now. So
Steamboat Springs was in Colorado. Yeah. So yeah. You want us to refer to it as an Oregonian or a Coloradan?
Oh, I'm always Oregonian.
All right. So what's going on? What's going on, Blaine?
I have a 2003 Dodge Dakota, bought it brand new, and there's a hissing noise that comes out when it's idling. It's just coming out of the manifold. It sounds like I've had the hood open and listened to it, and I'm not really sure what it is. I thought it might be a belt or something. But...
Oh, so it's coming from the
engine somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do? You just opened the hood and stuck your ear in there?
Yeah.
Did you use the whole head or just the ear? Well, you might be able to find the hiss. Does the engine seem to run rough at all?
It doesn't seem like it. It kind of vibrates a little bit, but it doesn't seem too bad or anything. Nothing abnormal. So
yeah, I mean, it sounds like a classic case of a cracked or disconnected vacuum hose. You know, there are a whole bunch of little hoses that run to the intake manifold that allow vacuum to be used that's created by the engine suction to run various devices like your power brake booster, your heater controls, etc. And if one of those hoses is leaking, you'll get that sound. Okay? And you can find that easily enough with something like imagine if you did have a very...
With your ear.
With your ear, yeah. If you had a very long soda straw, okay, or maybe a couple of soda straws stuck together. You could use that as a probe. You'd put one end in your ear, and the other end you would kind of probe around the engine until you heard that hissing sound get louder and louder and louder, and then you would find out that you had a snake in the hood. But you're going to find the vacuum leak, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if it's an intake manifold gasket even.
Okay.
And eventually it's going to get rougher and rougher running, and eventually it's going to probably turn on your check engine light. Yeah, is it on already?
No, it's not right now. It the hissing seems to me it maybe be getting louder, or maybe I'm just getting more paranoid about it. I don't know. But
yeah, I mean, and by the way, it could also be a belt. A belt will make a kind of a squealing noise that sounds almost like a hiss.
Yeah, I don't think it's a belt. It does it in the summer, winter. It does it all the time. And
oh, this has been doing it for a while.
Oh, a long time.
It's been doing it for probably 2 or 3 years now, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
And you just called us now?
Oh, he's been on hold the whole time. Well, if you can't figure it out, take it someplace. I'm sure a trained professional will have it figured out in a matter of minutes. But it sounds to me like it's a classic case of a hose that's disconnected or a manifold gasket that has begun to leak.
Yep, that's what it is.
All righty.
Hope with a hose. It's a lot cheaper. Good luck. Good luck, Blaine.
Yeah, I know. Cheaper's good. All right.
Cheaper is
good. See you, man.
Okay.
Bye-bye. All right. It's almost time for the brand new puzzler.
Wow. Time sure flies when you're scattering bad car advice.
It sure does. Look, but before we get to the new puzzler, we have to take a short break.
And what, pray tell, is the nature of this week's brand new puzzler?
Well, it happens to be from my traveling salesman series.
Really? I'm intrigued.
Yeah?
Well... Not really. But who knows? You might surprise me.
I'll do my best. And we'll be back with the new puzzler, of course, and more of your car questions, too. So please stay tuned.
We'll be right back.
Keep your eyes on the road. Hold the wheel at 10 and 2. Click and tug your seatbelt snug. You'll live longer if you do. Watch your speed, signpost heed. Remember when you drive Dad's truck to keep those round black things down and keep that shiny side up. Hold her straight, don't tailgate. Smooth and steady as she goes. Why the way some numbskulls drive, you had best be on your toes. Give it gas when you pass, but be careful not to push your luck. Keep those round black things down and keep that shiny side up.
My best advice is always drive defensive. Broken bones and crumpled fenders are expensive. So stay alert, don't get hurt. Just remember safety first. Never, never drink and drive. You could ride home in a hearse. Watch your speed, signpost heed. It's important when you drive Dad's truck. Keep those round black things down and keep that shiny side up.
And even though Renee Montaigne hits the snooze button and pulls the covers over her head whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the new Puzzler, which I did say was from my traveling salesman series. And this came in via a fellow named Tom Green.
Yeah.
Although I had to modify, obfuscate, and otherwise declarify things. Here we go. I work as a traveling salesman, and as such, I drive my, you know, my own car on our busy highways and byways in an effort to call on as many clients as I possibly can in any given day. Now, when I'm on the highway, I usually set my cruise control for a few miles per hour above the posted speed limit.
Of course.
And whenever I'm on a highway, whether it's a two or three or more lanes, I find myself traveling for the most part in the left lane. Now, I know I shouldn't, but I just can't help myself. Now, from time to time, I'll come upon a group of big rigs, you know, 18-wheelers, you know, semis, those big trucks, and they're all traveling one behind the other in the middle lane, for example.
Yeah.
Now, there may be just two or three, but sometimes half a dozen or more. As I close the gap between them and me, I usually don't even have to speed up to pass the whole lot of them. Don't forget, I'm already exceeding the speed limit. But it seems that quite often, one of those drivers in the middle of the pack, say, decides that he or she wants to go faster than the leader. Maybe the driver has got an urgent need for a haircut or something. You never know. And as soon as that impatient driver pulls left to pass, he slows down. That's right, he slows down. And what appears to me, that trucker sees me closing in on them and decides, I'll teach this jerk a lesson. I'll pull out and slow down, and Mr. Speedy will have to slam on his brakes or see the top of his car get cut off. Why are they out to get me? Or is this just my bad luck? Or is there something else going on here? Now, if you think you know the answer...
Wow.
If you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a 2-week rental contract for a 3-bedroom oceanfront villa in Puerto Vallarta with infinity pool, oh, those are cool, swim-up bar, personal chef, cliff walk, panoramic Pacific Coast views, private beach, and cascading bougainvillea. Send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But if you have a question about your car, give us a call. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Megan from Austin, Texas.
Hi, Megan. How are you?
Megan.
One of my favorite cities.
Yeah.
Really?
Austin. Yeah, I like Austin.
Well, I'm not from here, but I got here just as soon as I could.
You did?
Good.
Where are you from?
Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, I can understand this. So are you involved with the university?
No, I'm not.
Oh, you should be.
Yeah. I am an art therapist.
Ooh, art? What the heck is that?
Really? Just for this one guy named Art.
No, what is that?
I provide psychotherapy, but it's an image-based profession because we think in images rather than words. So I go directly into the images from someone's mind, and I use the art materials and directives in a prescriptive manner to get at what's going on and help people resolve that.
Wow. I've never heard of this before.
It's a real profession.
It makes perfect sense.
Do you make house calls? Because Tommy needs this.
No, I don't, but someone else might.
You might. All right. Anyway, what can we do for you, Megan?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's my car that needs a diagnosis.
Yeah.
It's an interesting little story here. I'll take you back to last December when I got the coolant bottle changed because the sensor had corroded. Mm-hmm. And about 7 months later...
This is a Volkswagen?
No, it's a 97 Ford Escort.
Oh, okay.
167,000 miles.
All right.
But 7 months later, the check coolant light came on the week after I'd have the fluids topped off. And so I took it in. They said, no, the fluid's fine. Probably an air bubble has reached the sensor. And then Doubting Thomas' friend said, well, that happened to me once, and it was a hairline fracture in the radiator somewhere. So I took her piece of input and filed it somewhere else because I didn't want to deal with that. And about 3 weeks ago, I'm driving to work and suddenly get this horrible, sick, sweet aroma in my car, and I don't have air fresheners. Then the windshield started fogging up on the driver's side.
Yeah.
And a good friend with a good nose was sitting in my car when it all blew, and he said, that smells like antifreeze.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sounds
smells
like
antifreeze
too.
To us, too.
It certainly does.
Even from all the way in Austin.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Well, first of all, when the light came on, it's possible that the light came on, and they should have checked this, but and I hope they added more coolant to the reservoir. That plastic bottle that you replaced has in it the sensor that tells you whether the level is okay or not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if the level drops down low, the way you get the light to go back off is you fill up the bottle with coolant.
Right, and they've checked that many times.
And they did that, and the light went off?
Nope. It's just it comes and goes at its own will.
Well, even though it's full, the light comes on and off.
Well, you may have two problems, but I'm guessing that the sensor that was that got replaced last December is no good.
Uh-oh.
However, that's not the source of your problem, I don't think. The real problem you have now, and the one that's going to cost you a fortune, is your heater core is leaking coolant. And it was misdiagnosed as this bottle and the sensor. The sensor got replaced, and maybe the sensor's no good, or maybe they didn't replace the sensor. I don't know what they did. But I think the bottom line is you have got to replace the heater core now.
Well, the plan is to get it into the shop tomorrow.
Good.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
that's
good. This is going to need some kind of special therapy of its own.
And not, then I will, too.
Yeah. You will, too. Well, you probably have a colleague that will give you a reduced rate, right?
I hope so.
All right. Well, good luck. But you're gonna have to fix it.
Okay. I will do it.
All right. See you, Megan.
Thanks much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yes, quick and quick.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who's this?
This is Larry from Newark.
Hi, Larry from Newark. What's going on, man?
Listen, I've got this sound. It kind of sounds like somebody walking down the street. Sounds like 2 feet hitting the ground. Actually, it is the sound of my feet hitting the ground. I don't have a car.
You got a hole in the floor.
My question is in reference to mileage, okay?
Yeah.
I'm a former owner of a Jeep Cherokee Laredo, and I passed the car on to my son. I'm in the market for a used vehicle, okay? And I'm shopping around, and I can remember years ago when 100,000 miles was considered high mileage on a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
My question to you guys is, today, what's considered high mileage on a vehicle? I'm looking at cars with 120,000 miles on them, 130,000 miles. They appear to be in good shape. The engine looks good. They sound good. But my question again is, what's considered high mileage on a vehicle today?
Double it.
Yeah, maybe 200.
200.
But it depends on how the vehicle was taken care of.
Okay.
You know, so a car that has 120,000 on it might be good for another 120, unless my brother's been driving it.
Okay.
So you don't have any specific model or make in mind yet.
Well, absolutely. I'm looking for another Jeep Cherokee because the one I had was really good to me. It served me really well.
Sure.
And it was a 97. And when I bought it, it had 118,000 miles on it. Ran really good.
And how many miles does that have on it now?
It's got about 150,000 on it now.
And your son's driving it?
Yes, my son is driving.
Maybe he's sick of it and he wants to sell it back to you.
I don't think so.
You don't think so.
Not the way he twisted my arm to get it.
You know, and I think when you're buying a vehicle that's this old, you're always better off buying it from an individual that you can look in the eye.
Okay.
Because you can learn a lot about a car from the person who's selling it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can tell right off. For example, if my brother ever had a used car for sale, you'd take one look at him and you'd run. Because you would know just by the way he looks that he ain't taking care of his car either. You know, he's got like 4 days growth of beard. He looks like he slept on a park bench, which he does from time to time. But if you see someone who's neat and orderly and those kinds of people generally are the ones, or better than that, someone who says, look, I bought this car brand new and here are all the receipts stapled together of every single oil change this thing has had. Boy, that's the kind of person you want to buy a car from. Yeah. You know, so a car that had that kind of documentation and had 120,000 miles on it would make me feel much more secure than going to a used car lot and having some guy with plaid pants and white shoes tell me that, the car was driven by some minister who only drove it to church on Sunday and changed the oil every weekend.
Yeah, you know? When we say that 200,000 is the number, that's if you really take care of the car. Because you can wreck a car at 100,000 miles if you know what you're doing, like I do.
All right, so then one other quick question then. So you would not buy a car from, let's say, an auction?
Well, if the price were really, really good, sure.
Okay.
And again, I you know, it's hard to give you absolute numbers. But for me, if I was going to buy a car with 120,000 miles on it at an auction, it would have to be probably half the price of what one would be from, you know, an individual.
Understand.
Because because you don't know what you're getting.
Right.
And anyone that let his car wind up, you know, repoed, probably wasn't too. They said, wait a minute, I think they're going to repo the car tomorrow. I'm going to take it down to Jiffy Lube and get the oil changed today.
Yeah.
Just so that person who buys
this
at auction is going to get something with a clean crankcase full of oil.
So, okay, guys.
Think about all that.
Good luck.
All right.
See you, Larry.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Teresa, and I'm calling from Colusa, California.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi.
And from Colusa, huh?
Where's Colusa?
Yeah. It's a little farm town north of Sacramento.
Oh, right in the earthquake zone there.
Exactly,
yeah. So what's shaking, as they say?
So I have a 2007 Honda CR-V, and I travel about 150 miles round trip from our little farm in Colusa to get to work in the Bay Area in San Francisco.
So every day you drive 150 miles?
5 days a week, yep.
No kidding.
So my problem started a few months ago when I was driving home from work, and I was driving along, and I was listening to music, and then I heard this little meowing, and it was meow, 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 coming from my car vents, and so I pulled off the side of the road, and it turns out that I had traveled with a kitten all the way to work, and then
get
all
out.
The way back home. Yeah.
Under the hood?
Under the hood, he had crawled in there and was in this tiny little nook, and he had stayed in my car for 9 hours while I was at work. And then when I was driving home, when I turned on the heater, he finally started meowing. And so we live on a farm, so we have a lot of feral farm cats.
Yeah.
So my problem is I can't get these cats from not sleeping underneath my hood every day. I don't know what to do, because every morning I go out there and I'm like a crazy person, because I'm like hissing under the hood and stomping my feet and waving my arms around to get these cats out, and I'm afraid I'm going to have another stowaway.
Fox urine.
Yeah.
That's what you need.
Okay.
Well,
right?
I think if you just open the hood and bang a few things, they'll run away.
Well, that's what I did with this, because I usually bang on my hood before I go to work. So I banged on my hood, and it scared the little kitten not out of my car, but
deeper in.
Into my car.
Exactly. Oh. Yeah. Animals can be unpredictable like that. You'd think they'd jump away, but...
Sure. So I don't really know what to do. I've been leaving my hood up, but with the wind and the rain, is it bad to leave your hood up all the time with it wind and rain
not particularly,
car?
But... You need to find a way to get them out, and you need to find something unpleasant.
Okay.
What don't they like?
I don't know. They seem
fox,
to love everything.
Fox urine.
Fox urine. Okay, I can maybe get some of that.
Well, you can buy that at the feed store.
And then you have to smell it.
But yeah, will that make it smell when I turn on my air conditioner or my heating?
Oh, yeah, probably. You might get used to it. You might like this.
The new air freshener.
Well, yeah. When you open the hood... You can see the cat?
Oh, yeah. They sleep right on top of the engine block.
Well, how
so
about...
spraying water in there,
Yeah,
too.
Well, we learned with our puppy, my wife and I have a new puppy, And we had forgotten this, but one of the things that works great to discourage them from behaviors that you don't approve of, like eating your Duncan Fife furniture, is to spray them in the face with water.
Yes.
And they don't like that.
Okay.
You know, and it's harmless, but okay. it gets them to stop doing something that you find reprehensible.
Okay. And, I know, I feel bad.
Well, would you rather have the cat get chewed up in the fan belt?
No, I wouldn't.
You'd feel a lot worse than that. Or as you drove down the highway, you'd hear a meow, boomp.
Yes. Yes, that was not a fun day.
Yeah. No. So I think if you can associate the spot with the spray and the kisser, and the cat leaves, then maybe you'll kind of reprogram the cat. Is it just this one cat?
Oh, no, there's multiple cats.
So any one of them is apt to do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they think it's the greatest place on earth to hang out. So.
Well, you know what it is, too? As the weather turns cooler, when you pull in, they're seeking a warm spot.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know, so maybe what you could do, you park outdoors, I take it.
I do.
So maybe you could spray the area around your vehicle with the fox urine.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Either that, or let them come indoors. That's not happening, huh?
I don't think so.
No.
No. How about a place in? You have a barn, of course.
Yes.
How about a spot in the barn?
You'd think that they would have lots of other places to go, but they seem to love my car.
It's not warm enough. I think you need. Yeah. It's warm. The engine's warm, so you need to have an equally warm spot.
Okay.
That maybe has one other thing that they might like TV.
Okay. I'll just build them a whole house.
Yeah, I think food, TV, and a warm spot, and I think you'll get them hooked.
There you go.
Good luck, Teresa.
Thank you so much.
Oh, boy. Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly acceptable hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug, the subway fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the barbarian, and David, the calves of Belleville Green. Our web lackey is Doug, the old gray mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Saskatoon, macaroon, pitted prune, roast raccoon, loin of loon, beef chow foon, crab rangoon, and Lorna Doone, sleep till noon, then scarf and swoon, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. My brother's official co-pilot is Yvette DePants. Our repo man is Carmine Now. Our PR specialist is Ulion Sack. Our head of customer service is Don Bottomy. My puzzler assistant is Norma Lee Bogus. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luz Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the organic newspaper vendors in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 949, saunter through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com. Or if you prefer, you can call the Shameless Commerce Division for Car Talk gifts at 888-CAR-JUNK.
Also this week at cartalk.com, what are your winter driving tips?
Yeah, we've posted our tips for driving and maintaining your car when it's cold and disgusting out. Now we'd like to know if you've got tips to share for surviving the winter in a car.
But how will we know which listener tips actually work and which don't?
Oh, that's easy. Wait till next year and see which ones we steal for our list.
Check out our winter driving tips or add your own all week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Carl Castle Googles Carnival Barker, annual salary whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.